Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the union label.
That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned. If we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Welcome, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show, the home of militant moderation, where we friends of Alan want the Republicans out of our bedrooms, the Democrats out of our wallets, and both out of our First and Second Amendment rights. I'm John Hayward, Deputy National Security Editor for Breitbart News, your host today, as we sail into the turbulent waters of Sedition Gate, our latest scandal we have to talk about. Please visit our website at alannathan.com for our podcasts and our showtimes. Yes, there is now an argument in progress about whether the Democrats are encouraging sedition or acting in a seditious manner themselves. And President Trump weighed in there in his characteristic fashion by saying that if they are engaging in sedition, the penalty is death. So if he's reminding everybody that sedition is punishable by death. This all started with the Democrats, some of them, getting together. A couple of them are military members. A lot of them are Democrat CIA veterans. And if there's one thing you would want to look up right now in the dictionary for someone who cannot be trusted, it would be a Democrat veteran of the CIA. But those people apparently still think they have some credibility. So they make this video together and they film it in the style that I find incredibly irritating of people finishing each other's sentences. So the video cascades from one person to the next as they say something, they start to say something, and then the next person says the next three words, and on they go. They think, I guess, that filming things this way makes it look like they're speaking for some great stifled majority, you know, that they're speaking with the voice of the ages or something like that. To me, it looks like a creepy hive mind. The impression that they give. These people are not capable of independent thought. They don't think you are either. So if they film a video like this, you'll just bounce along the cascade and get swept up in what they're saying. And the substance of what they were saying in these videos is they said President Trump is giving illegal orders to the military, and that you as a military member, they were calling on all members of the military to disobey President Trump's illegal orders. And they were reminding them that you have like some kind of a duty in their opinion that you should disobey any order from President Trump that is illegal. And then they ended by saying, we've got your back if you do that. If you think they have your back, you are so freaking stupid that you should not be driving a vehicle of any kind, let alone a military vehicle. I can't imagine what a chump, what a sucker you would have to be to think that you can go out and disobey orders in the military and this bunch of Democrat goons is going to swing in there and protect you somehow. No, they're not. They're going to let you rot in a cell while they skip along with their political lives. Well, they put this video out there, and what they probably wanted was for President Trump to do what he did, which was he hits back really hard. And he says that sedition is punishable by death. And he retweeted somebody else, President Trump did, who said that the people making the video should be hanged as traitors. And so that, of course, gave these people what they wanted. And now the Democrats are running around clutching their pearls, wrapping themselves in the flag, wailing that they're brave martyrs for patriotism and so on and so forth. But I don't think this is really working out for them. And I say that based on their responses, the way some of the Democrats are playing this does not sound like they think they have just landed a punch in politics and they're going to follow up, on this punch and beat Trump up against the ropes. Instead, they're starting to walk back what they said in the video and what they implied. And one of the reasons is that people other than President Trump, who responded to this before he did, they jumped in and said, what the hell are you talking about? What illegal order? What exactly? And on talk shows, and I must say, it wasn't just Republicans. A couple of people in the media, CNN hosts even, had these Democrats on for talk shows and said, what illegal orders? What exactly do you mean? And they were not only saying, what has he done illegal so far? But they were asking, what would you say is an illegal order? Like, what are you even talking about? And not a man or woman who made this despicable video could answer that question. Not one. Every one of them was just bathed in sweat when their friendly media journalists began, I think innocently, cupidly asking them what they were talking about. And I think they were setting that up for a nice response. That was supposed to be a slow pitch over the plate. What illegal order do you mean? And they were hoping that the Democrat guest that they had on their show, who they were interviewing, would then say, well, I'm talking about whatever. Like, I'm talking about sending the military into cities to break up riots, or sending the military out to blow up drug boats, or whatever they had in mind. But none of them could actually come up with an answer, because they all know perfectly well that none of the stuff they disagree with is actually in a legal order. And they couldn't make any hay with that. And I think some of the Democrats who did this all too late, these people flew right out over the edge of their skis. And when their friendly media fellows began asking them, what do you mean? What legal order? I think it occurred to them that if they actually answered that question, they were getting themselves into a lot of hot water. That they wanted this to be a campaign. This is a cowardly campaign. These Democrats who made these people are cowards. And they meant this to be a cowardly campaign of innuendo and insinuation. President Trump, he's like Hitler, you know, and if Hitler gives you an illegal order, you want to disobey that order. That it was all a smear job. And it seemingly never occurred to any of these folks that anyone in the press, especially, or any Republican on a talk show with them, was going to back him up against the wall and say, what do you mean? Give me an example of an illegal order. And they couldn't. So this is all starting to fall apart around them. And I think one of the really devastating responses that I've seen coming from a lot of military people who are responding to this on social media and so on, a lot of these military folks are saying, you know, the fact that you made this video is absolutely encouraging sedition and dissension in the ranks. You people know exactly what you're doing here. And what you Democrats are really trying to do is goad some poor sap in the military, some enlisted guy who takes you seriously, and maybe somebody who is a Democrat voter, a supporter of yours, because there's lots of them in the military. They're trying to goad somebody into disobeying an order and becoming a martyr for them. In fact, they want a lot of people. You don't just want one. They want a lot of people in the military to start disobeying their orders. And of course, if they do, they're going to get in trouble. And they're going to get prosecuted and so on for disobeying their orders. And the Democrats would then spin a political campaign out of that and say, see, look at all these poor, hardworking, patriotic men and women. Hopefully for the Democrats, hopefully some of them would be men and women of color, maybe a transsexual or two in the mix. And they would say, look at all these poor, noble, patriotic people. And Trump is throwing them in jail for disobeying his horrible orders and yada, yada. But the people doing this would go to jail for much of the rest of their lives because they would be absolutely guilty. And they would find out very quickly that their Democrat pals are in no way going to save them from the consequences of their actions. So a lot of people who are active and retired military responding to this have said, you don't do this. This is simply not done. And it's been understood through modern American history that you don't make a scurrilous video like this, you know, encouraging people to go out and commit sedition and treason on behalf of your political party. And then you get to act like you're innocent. Oh, I didn't know anybody was going to actually do what I was telling them to do. You know, I was just asking questions. It's not done. And one of the reasons is the last thing you can afford in a military unit, peacetime or otherwise, is for people to be sitting around thinking, I have to carefully mull over every order I'm given and decide if it meets my personal standards of approval. You know, that's the military can't work that way. It's not a series of suggestions. They're called orders for a reason. And sure, yes, you might come to the point where someday some hypothetically illegal order is given and it's a big deal and your conscience kicks in. But that is a very, very, very rare occurrence. And you can't afford to have frontline enlisted people, people in harm's way, people conducting sensitive activities. You can't afford to have those people sitting around and having a Hamlet type to be or not to be discussion with themselves every time they get an order, trying to decide if they think it's legal. And I think that that's one of the things that's coming back to haunt the Democrats is so many people in the military are standing up and calling them out for making this scurrilous video. This is all just part of the larger Democrat campaign to pretend that Trump isn't really a legitimate president and that the last election doesn't really count. And you can do anything you want to resist him because he's the bad orange man. He's a king. No kings, remember, no kings. We're going to have another revolution against King Trump and all that. Everything they are doing is designed to send this message that if the Democrats lose an election, it's not legitimate, it doesn't count. And the person who beat them isn't really the president and isn't really entitled to wield the full powers and authorities of the office. And that is a very, very dangerous idea. So on the one hand, I think President Trump served them up a political opportunity by responding to them as heatedly as he did. And you can see, looking around at some other Republicans, the Senate Majority Leader, the House Majority Leader, some of those people are saying, yeah, this Democrat ad is terrible, but I don't know if I really want to get into President Trump saying that they should all be put to death for sedition or whatever. Like, that's a little much for them. So Trump really staked out some territory that not everybody in the Republican Party wants to follow him out onto that limb and be quite that vociferous in their opposition. But what they are all beginning to understand is that you can't have a functioning democracy if one of the parties thinks the election doesn't count when they lose. So, I mean, that's not democracy, and we have to do better than that. I'm John Hayward, your host today. We'll be right back with more of The Alan Nathan Show.
Next year marks America's 250th birthday. And what better way to celebrate than an elevated train journey through the American Southwest? Canyon Spirit offers the adventure of a lifetime with scenic train journeys through rugged canyons and desert landscapes, along with gourmet dining and world-class service. Expansive panoramic windows allow guests to watch the magnificent scenery best seen by rail, including river canyons, red rocks, and more. Canyon Spirit travels between Salt Lake City and Denver with overnight stays in Moab, Utah, and Glenwood Springs, Colorado. And the train only travels during the day, allowing guests to enjoy the journey and relax overnight in charming small towns. TV host and travel expert Kelly Rizzo.
I think there's a certain romance to boarding a train, especially through the iconic vistas of the Southwest. Canyon Spirit offers a front row seat to these breathtaking wonders, along with historic storytelling and regionally inspired gourmet dining. It's truly a wondrous experience.
To learn more, visit canyonspirit.com.
Butterball, the best known and most loved brand of turkey in the U.S., has partnered with renowned Chef Corps brand Headley and Bennett to create the first ever Thanksgiving hosting pans. Butterball turkey talk line expert Corey Gustavik shares more.
Roasting whole turkey isn't something most of us do every day. It can be intimidating and stressful, but the right clothes can make you feel more confident and comfortable in the kitchen. That's why Butterball created the first of their kind Thanksgiving hosting pants. Designed with a fun turkey print in Butterball blue, these pants are sure to give you swagger in the kitchen while keeping all your cooking essentials within arm's reach. With custom pockets for your meat thermometer and phone, loops for your utensils and towels, and a bottle opener to keep the party hydrated, these pants will help you get a leg up in your hosting duties this year. Butterball is giving away for free one final time while supplies last at noon Eastern this Monday, November 17th.
Learn more and claim your pair of hosting pants at ThanksgivingHostingPants.com.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Give a little talking to man, mano a mano. Hey, Steve! It's now a good time? No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned, accessible homes and vehicles, and access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs. at pva.org.
Welcome back to the Al Nathan Show. Everybody, Silker Joe Show co-host Joe doing pinch hitting while we iron out some technical difficulties. Oh boy, will we have John Hayward as a guest host, or will it just be me for the rest of the hour? We'll see. But for this particular segment, we have joining us, hopefully he'll do more of this, most of the talking, James Maroney. He is policy analyst at Americans for Prosperity and primarily focuses on energy policy. He previously worked as a research analyst at Stand Together. James Maroney, happy having the show. How are you today?
I'm doing good. It's a Friday, so I can't really be complaining too much, though, can I?
Right. One thing we can complain about, I guess, is China. They're putting a squeeze on the rare earth metals that we are importing that our military needs. And, you know, the fact that we rely on a political adversary for stuff to begin with should be a rather shocking admission. But also, can't we just produce the rare earth metals ourselves? What's going on with these?
Yeah, that's a great point and a great question. So we do have the ability. Well, let me go back. We used to have the ability, but we passed a fair amount of regulation, permitting from environmental to permitting to all sorts of regulations, and China making a very devoted and decisive effort to enter that market basically undercut us and was able to take nearly 90% of the processing ability of these rare earth metals. So that's why pretty much everything comes from them now. They have the near dominance of the market, and without real true permitting reform on the U.S. side, we're going to be reliant on them for all sorts of things, all these kinds of materials, for things like the F-35 or Tomahawk missiles or any other key military equipment, but also just general civilian equipment as well. And it really puts us in a bad spot, just geopolitically speaking.
And there's kind of two ironies behind this. The first one is, as you just said, we're relying on a geopolitical adversary. But number two is the reasoning for it is that, at least for us not doing it in the U.S., is environmental concerns. And that's part of why the permitting is so extensive and difficult, because of, you got to do this in an ecologically sound way. But then the reason China's able to undercut us to the point where it's easier to have them shipped across an ocean and are cheaper to have it shipped across an ocean than to mine it here is that China doesn't give a flip about the environment.
Unfortunately, it very much showed up that way. And don't get me wrong, the permitting process is an important step. It's to make sure that we are safeguarding the health and the property rights of the communities and ecosystems. But we can't let that be a barrier as of what it's become now. And that's the big problem. It went from more of just a check to make sure we're doing it the right way, the safe way. Everyone gets their voice in, everyone's heard, and then we can start building. But now it's just used as a tool to block everything. There's too many lawsuits, and half the time the lawsuits, the government agency wins on appeal afterwards. So it was pretty much frivolous to start, and it's just a waste of money and a waste of time. And at the end of the day, we lose.
And we end up losing taxpayer money, the environment gets damaged, we're relying on a political adversary for all this stuff. What's the solution here?
It's pretty simple. Pass some permitting reform. And fortunately, we have a lot of good bills going on around the House. Yesterday, for example, the Speed Act, introduced by Bruce Westerman, I believe Jared Golden, got its first markup, and it's starting to make some progress, but we need real legislation to fix this. And that's just to streamline the process, make sure there's a predictable and understandable system where businesses, investors, what have you, know what they're getting into, know how to plan, how to do budget, and understand that when they get their permit, they can build. Just simplify the process. That's all we're trying to do.
Now, do you see any sort of bipartisan support, or is it one side obstructing or one side helping? How's that looking?
No, this is truly becoming a bipartisan issue because it affects everything. Let's say for green energy, if a Democrat wants a green energy project or a green energy transmission line in their district, they're going to have to go through the same process as an oil system. And they're facing the same kind of delays, the same kind of barriers, the same lawsuits. It doesn't matter. So it's hitting everybody in the worst way at the worst time. So it would be foolish to think this is just a partisan issue. This impacts everybody at all times, regardless of your preference of energy source.
Yes, and you have this op-ed or piece over on the DC Journal titled Permitting Reform Can Unlock and Secure America's Future, and that's kind of been driving the discussion. So if our listeners want to go check that out, I'll pitch it again at the end of the segment. But in it, you also talk about just the length of time. So like, even if there is some sort of permitting reform bill that's passed, even as it is, it takes as you say here, quote, it takes 4 to 5 years to receive the appropriate federal permits to begin any construction, and that's before accounting for the vast and often redundant state permitting processes. Mining projects alone take an average of 8 to 9 years. So even with reforms, we're talking still years before we're able to do anything about it. That's alarming, from especially given our relation with China.
Oh, it's far from great. But fortunately, McKinsey did a real good study over this summer, I believe, or at least published it this summer, and that's where a lot of this data comes. And just an average energy project takes 4 to 5 years, and that's just insane given the demand of energy right now. And on top of that, for mining or anything related to these rare earth metals, takes even longer. And then that's not even counting the state processes, but for the most part, given the location of these states, it's a literal... Sometimes it's a little easier, sometimes a little more difficult. Depends on the state, of course. But still, there's a lot of redundancies that happen. There's a lot of unnecessary hoops that these investors or business developers have to go through, and it's just driving up the time. If we get these fixes in, it will generally speed up the process and just allow an easier, more predictive process and cut down on the cost on the front end and on the back end, which allows them to stay in business and compete. That will help start to shift the market share over time, of course.
Yes, and that's the key word, over time. You know, we got to manage expectations here. We're not going to be we're not going to remove ourselves from China's grasp overnight. It's going to take a little while. And it's not just a federal reform, I guess, that's needed, because you mentioned all these redundant state regulations too.
Yeah, there's it's definitely a state-federal issue. The federal issue is definitely one of the larger obstacles right now, but here at Americans for Prosperity, we are working with state legislators as well to educate them and let them understand how to refine and streamline their own processes so we can unleash American energy and more prosperity for everybody. That's our goal. So
I was just about to say, like this is a foreign concept for the U.S. being the biggest producer of all this stuff. As you point out in your piece, until the late 1990s, the U.S. was a major extractor and processor of the world's rare earth elements.
Yeah, and it's not like these deposits don't exist in the U.S. There's been plenty of studies. They found them in Wyoming. They found some in Georgia. They are here. We just need to go get them and put them to work.
Put them to work for us, put them to work for our national security, and also give China one less bit of leverage. So, you know, like, it works out both environmentally, geopolitically, and also should simplify the producing process a little bit. We're not having to deal with China deciding when or where to block imports, or, you know, something like COVID happens again, where suddenly shipping is just cut off because of the worldwide pandemic. Well, now where are we getting rare earth metals from?
Exactly. We've become more self-sufficient, and even if these processes aren't the best in the world in terms of environment, it's definitely better what they're doing overseas. I can guarantee that. So it's still an improvement overall.
And that was me not going to set headphones off. But James Marone, appreciate you being on the Al Nathan Show to talk about this. Again, listeners, he's a policy analyst at Americans for Prosperity. And this piece he wrote that we've been talking a little bit about is at DCJournal.com. It's titled Permitting Reform Can Unlock and Secure America's Future. We got more Al and Nathan Show on the other side of this break.
Hilton has once again been ranked number one on the world's best workplace list, according to Great Place to Work and Fortune. The hospitality leader has now topped the list twice in 3 years. At Hilton, its team members say the hospitality industry is where they can learn, grow, and achieve their career goals. Victoria, a sales director at a Homewood Suites property, explains.
Hospitality is the warmest industry that you can go into. The care, the nurturing, and the areas of opportunity are large. There are so many different elements in hospitality, and I don't think everyone thinks about the larger picture that they could fit into. Hilton has always been just a welcoming, open-armed, flexible place to work. I'm going to look forward in enjoying more stable work days and the ability to just have that work-life balance that I truly want.
To learn more about what makes Hilton a great place to work, visit stories.hilton.com/worldsbestworkplace.
Small businesses face constant security challenges, from protecting property to keeping employees and customers safe. SimpliSafe is stepping in with a new suite of professional-grade security solutions designed specifically for business owners. TV host and entrepreneur Chip Wade has more.
As a business owner, I travel a lot for work. And it's reassuring to have a system that not only lets me monitor my businesses no matter where I am, but it's protected by trained agents who will intervene if there's trouble. It's about knowing my offices and workshops are protected even when I can't be there.
SimpliSafe Business Security offers customizable plans backed by 24/7 monitoring. Key features include AI-powered cameras, live agents who can help prevent crimes and call for help in an emergency, multi-camera live streaming, customized user access, and elevated customer support.
SimpliSafe aims to give business owners just like me peace of mind so they can focus on growing their businesses, all without long-term contracts or cancellation penalties.
To learn more, visit SimpliSafe.com.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils, like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon? Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Al Nathan Show by Silker Joe Show co-host Joe. Turns out I will be your host for the remainder of the day due to technical issues. And here I am with my antivirus flagging me with some messages on the computer. Oh, this is going to be a fun-filled Friday, isn't it? That's what when my high school teachers used to call it when, like, Friday afternoon pseudo-detention. Called it fun-filled Friday. He's living up to that name. Anyway, so I'm going to run this segment real quick by starting off with, and we're getting into a little bit about congressional corruption. We were supposed to have a guest on this segment, but that's another thing that's just gone down the tubes, I suppose. But so congressional corruption. First, we have this Congresswoman Representative Sheila Sherfalus McCormick. I have no idea how to pronounce her name. I've never heard of her until this article at CBS titled Representative Sheila Sherfalus McCormick of Florida charged with stealing FEMA money, using it for her campaign, DOJ says. Have to add that DOJ says. But that, for those of you wondering from CBS, you know, thinking, oh, that's, they're just trying to say allegedly, that's actually a cover-your-butt moment. That's not a partisan, Republicans make this claim, we don't believe it. That's a, legally we have to say this is allegedly something that happened. This article came out yesterday is the 21st, tomorrow's the 22nd, talking about how this Congresswoman, Democrat, they don't mention that in the headline, by the way. Actually, yeah, that is the first word, though, of the article. Democratic Representative Sheila Sherfalus, I have no idea how to pronounce her name, McCormick of Florida, was indicted in federal court Wednesday for allegedly stealing millions of dollars in federal emergency funds and routing some of it to her campaign account. Okay, so people in Republicans in Western North Carolina can't get FEMA support because they have Trump signs. Meanwhile, a Democrat congresswoman gets FEMA money and funnels it to her campaign. Incredible. So how was she able to do this? Well, this company that she ran, it's called Trinity Healthcare Services. It was overpaid $5 million on a FEMA-funded contract to assist with Florida's COVID vaccination program. And I guess she just kind of routed that to her own pockets, and to her campaign pockets, at least some of that. Well, joining us to talk about this is someone who has his own charitable organization, Jack Brewer, White House appointee on the U.S. Commission for the Social Status of Black Men and Boys and chairman of the Jack Brewer Foundation and three-time NFL champion. Jack Brewer, happy having the show. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. So what do you make of this misuse of FEMA money?
It's unfortunate to hear, you know. You know, so many people, you know, got caught up in the PPE and, you know, during the COVID crisis that we had in our country. And it really, you saw the true nature of people, the greed of people, you know, during a time where our economy crashed. You know, President Trump, you know, took it over the head during this time. He would have probably won the election had it not been for COVID. And then you had people like this who, were using this unfortunate time to enrich themselves. And so, you know, the Bible teaches us that, you know, darkness always comes to light. And I think that's what's happening. You're seeing more and more investigations happening over things that would have, you know, been held away from us. None of this stuff would have ever come out had we not won that election a year ago. And so, you know, I'm just thankful that we're starting to see some of the things that were happening in our country, so that we can clean them up. There's so much waste, fraud, and abuse, and this is just another example of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we talk, and actually this article here titled U.S. Billions of Dollars Lost in COVID-19 Relief Fund Fraud. So this is just the tip of the iceberg of the amount of money that's just been frauded from the government because of this. And as you said, just the absolute greed of people. All this stuff is supposed to be helping the American people out, and it's not exactly like it's free money. It's coming from the taxpayers.
Exactly. And I mean, you talk about doing it in the spirit of service. You know, most of these folks, you know, we're portraying roles of helping people in our nation when they were doing that. And that's what is really so bad about it. You know, I know I personally have worked tirelessly through my life to serve people. And, you know, I come out of pocket to help serve people, you know, try to leverage the government to do that. And so it's just unfortunate. I'm glad that this stuff is coming to light so that we can, you know, we need to put measures in place to avoid these things from even happening, and to think that, you know, you could, you know, be doing this and still run for office, it's pretty upsetting to think that, you know, you could really fool you know, hundreds of thousands of people that live in that district. It's really a sad thing.
I think even sadder is how many of those people would still have voted for her even knowing this. I mean, I'm sitting here in Virginia where our new attorney general had these text messages come out of where he was fantasizing about killing one of his Republican colleagues and his children, and he still won. So I'm just got to wonder, you know, are we just so numb to this sort of thing, fraud or abuse, that we just, oh, well, at least the guy is on our team, so we'll vote for them.
Yeah, I think morality has been compromised in a lot of ways in our nation. I think, you know, certain people just don't see through the lens of reality. You know, their lens is through either a political party lens, and many are through the eyes of a victim. And the victimhood and mentality, you know, has really had just destructive effects on our country. You know, people are always looking to side with the victim, you know, always looking to want to be on the side that wants to talk about identity and wants to talk about, you know, race and all of these other things. They don't want to talk about just being a true American, just being a patriot, just being someone who loves your country and loves your God. That's not enough, unfortunately, for the left, the leftists in our nation. It's got to be about trying to identify the new victim. And so we see it happening in our cities. We see our cities going so liberal, so woke. You know, you have communists now being elected to the highest positions in these cities like New York, you know, and people that just want to capitalize on victimhood and want to move our nation closer to socialism. And so we've got to do something to stop it. We've got to continue to seek out this corruption, because where you have socialism and communism, you will have corruption, because those with power will always be taking advantage of the weak. And so this won't end, unfortunately, but we've got to do our part to keep bringing it to light.
Now, speaking of actual victims, you recently had a trip to the White House about fostering children. Tell our listeners about that.
Yeah, so you know, the First Lady has made it a passion of hers, and you know, her initiative to make sure that she raises up the most vulnerable in our nation. You know, we have over 400,000 kids in our foster care system across our country, and we, you know, have a lot of kids that age out of the foster care system. You know, kids when they get to be 18 years old and they have to leave their foster care environments, you know, they still don't have a family. And I don't know about you, but at 18, 19, 20, I still, you know, I still needed to see mama, and I still wanted to feel, you know, feel that love on the holidays and have a place to call home. And these kids don't have that. And so the president and the first lady are doing things and taking drastic steps to make sure that our government is taking care of those that are the least of these, those that don't have families. And so I was, you know, privileged and honored to be able to be invited to this meaningful and impactful event at the White House. You know, it was one of the first events after the government got reopened, and you could tell it's a priority for this administration to take care of our foster care population. And so this has been a true blessing, and I look forward to hearing the stories of the lives that are changed because of this new initiative.
Yeah, certainly that is something that we need to work on. I mean, we're just coming in off the previous administration where they managed to lose like 150,000 children who came across the border. So it's nice to see this total flip where we're now helping out children.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, that is, you know, still unfortunate. Obviously, they're finding more and more kids every day. You know, you start talking about hundreds of thousands of children lost. It just really tells you about the, you know, the disorganization and really the heart of where that administration was at. You know, I think they were more concerned with, you know, padding their pockets and trying to hold on to power so that they could have generational wealth for their own families, despite, you know, taking care of the most vulnerable people in our land and not just our country, but across the world. You know, they created a system that really rewarded these cartels and these illegal immigrants in a lot of ways to reward them by coming here and breaking our laws and in some ways terrorizing our country. And so it's just sad, you know, but it's a new day in America. It's going to be a hard fight. We're not going to be able to get through all of this in one Trump term. So it's going to require us to have a long-term commitment, and hopefully in 2026 we can come back and keep these victories coming.
All right. Well, Jack Brewer, appreciate you being on the Al Nathan Show to talk about this. We've got 25 seconds left. Where can the listeners find out more about the Jack Brewer Foundation?
You can log on to jackbrewerfoundation.org. Give us a call. We are in the prisons, in the communities that need it the most, and helping to bring relief to our brothers and sisters around the world. So thanks for having me on.
All right, glad to have you. And listeners, you can check that out. We're coming up to a break. We got more Al Nathan Show on the other side.
Would you know where to turn if you or loved one suddenly became paralyzed? Paralysis isn't something you plan for, but the National Paralysis Resource Center has served as a vital lifeline for thousands of families. But federal funding for the program is at risk. Marine veteran Sherman Gillums Jr., Senior Director of Public Policy at the Christopher and Dana Reeve Foundation, says the consequences could be devastating.
This is about more than just a budget line. It's about veterans, caregivers, and families, real people who need these resources to live more productive and independent lives.
Gillums, who lives with paralysis himself, says cutting this funding would remove critical resources like peer mentoring, help with housing, and job placement guidance.
When you take away these lifelines, people must figure out how to rebuild their lives on their own. And that's not something any family should have to do.
Learn about the importance of funding for the National Paralysis Resource Center at ChristopherReeve.org.
On Sunday, November 2nd, Americans will fall back to standard time, despite growing concerns over the health and safety risks of seasonal time changes. According to sleep experts, making standard time permanent could improve the lives of millions, and the Coalition for Permanent Standard Time and its partner, the American Academy of Sleep Medicine, are working to make that a reality. Dr. Karen Johnson, sleep medicine physician and co-chair of the Coalition for Permanent Standard Time.
When our schedules align with the timing of natural light, people benefit from brighter mornings, safer commutes to work and school, and improved sleep at night.
Want to lessen the effects of the time change? Try these tips. Get at least 7 hours of sleep per night before and after the change. Adjust the timing of daily routines like meals and exercise, and head out for early morning sunlight during the week after the time change. For more information about ending daylight saving time and to find additional resources about sleep disorders, treatments, and sleep health, visit sleepeducation.org, sponsored by the American Academy of Sleep Medicine.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm going to keep ticking, but no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times? When we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while. Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart and don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. For help keeping yours at a healthy range, text PRESSURE to 97779. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries. From healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment. This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all got to help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're going to be saving our lives.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show by Silver Joe Show. Co-host Joe hosting the program for you all today. We start with John Hayward, but now it's me. It's crazy, right? But the technical issues can do that with you. Anyway, so John started the show talking about these six idiot Democrats who were telling the military to defy illegal orders. And one of them, Jason Crow, went on to Fox News, of all places, with Martha McCallum hosts. I don't know. I don't have cable TV anymore. I've been at cable TV ever since I stopped watching wrestling. But whatever show Martha McCallum has, Congressman Jason Crow is on there, Democrat. He's one of the ones who said, I'm a veteran, so you people in the military and intel communities, you listen to me, not President Trump. You don't obey any of his orders if they're illegal. But then, who says they're illegal? What is an illegal order? Has he done illegal orders already? Crow did not have the answer to any of those questions. He picked an interview on Fox News, of all places, and came in without being able to answer those three basic questions that any reasonable, rational journalist would have had. Now, I know he came off an interview on CNN or MSNBC or CBS News where they talked about how brave he was. Oh my gosh, you're so brave challenging Trump like this, that authoritarian fascist. But they didn't actually ask him any questions, so he didn't have any answers. And then maybe he mistook Fox News for CNN. Sometimes that is an easy mistake to make, but given the editorial direction some Fox News hosts go in. Anyway, though, and now there's this talk that Trump, his response, though, was horrific and evil. He called for them to be executed. He said in his social media post that sedition is punishable by death, which is technically an accurate statement. And he also replied that to the six Democrats who were trying to get the military to insurrect, stage a, quote, soft coup, unquote, that's from them, not me, against the Trump administration, without actually being able to point to anything illegal he has done, or in the case of Jason Crow, can't point to anything illegal he might do. And now Democrats are up in arms. Oh, he wants them all dead. Well, first of all, we saw with the attorneys general race in Virginia, and we've seen with those polls about assassinations, and we saw with the reaction to the assassination of Charlie Kirk, it's actually Democrats who want all the Republicans dead. But second of all, let's go back to the first Trump term, shall we? Anyone remember when he had a meeting with Vladimir Putin where he said some nice things about Putin and pissed on the intelligence community, the U.S. intelligence community, which at that point was full of partisans that were attempting to get Trump in any way possible, as we learned over the following years with revelation after revelation after revelation? He was right to piss on them. And then he praised Putin a little bit as well because, I mean, you're meeting with the foreign leader, you're trying to get on his good side because you have negotiations to do. Simple thing. The media called him a traitor, said it was treason, and said that was sedition. And then we have two other points from the Trump administration. I just grabbed these headlines here from a CNN Facebook page. Lieutenant Colonel Ralph Peters says Trump guilty of sedition. They had a clip from their network. And we got this Rolling Stones headline from October of 2020, the sedition of Donald Trump. So that's 3 points in his first term where Democrats were calling for Trump to be executed because he was guilty of sedition. They just weren't quite so blunt as putting in the notation that the death penalty should be invoked. However, we even had a fake Republican, I think, what was his name? Was it Joe Wilson? Or Mark Sanford? It was one of those two. No, it wasn't Joe Wilson. He was the guy who... No, maybe it was. We had fake Republicans. One fake Republican who was campaigning against Trump, whoever that guy was in 2020. Yeah, he came out and said Trump should be executed for this sort of thing. So, yeah. Trump has been threatened with death threats before, and the media didn't care. They're the ones making the threats. Democrats didn't care. They're the ones making the threats. But now, oh no, he's saying what we said to him. He's now saying that back to us. Oh my gosh, it's the end of the world. The sky's fallen. His supporters are going to come and execute us, even though our supporters are the only ones who've actually tried to execute Republicans, but we'll just ignore that part. And they have tried so hard, too, to try and paint their own supporters not being mass murderers. What happened right after Charlie Kirk was assassinated? They tried to say that the killer was a Republican. Look what happened after the first attempt on Trump's life. They tried to say that guy was a Republican. The one in Butler, Pennsylvania, tried to say he was a Republican. We've now since learned, no, actually, he hasn't been a Republican since 4 years before that. He fell down the same left-wing rabbit hole as Charlie Kirk assassin, which is something worth investigating. But and actually, around the same time that he fell down that rabbit hole, I was talking online with someone who fell down that rabbit hole, too, and tried to pull me down with him. Them. It was a he/she because transitioning. But anyway, so that's been the issue there. The left tries to paint their own killers as being right-wing somehow, and when they can't, they just deny that it's really a problem, that they're in fact, they blame Trump for it. Like, remember the Bernie Sanders supporter who went and tried to kill congressmen back in 2017? Democrats blame Trump. They said, oh, his rhetoric has ratcheted up the violence level in America. Even after Charlie Kirk was assassinated, even after we learned that that assassin was a liberal, Democrats still came out and said, oh, it's actually Trump's fault that this is happening. Even though Democrats are the ones saying that he's an existential threat to the country, he's fascist, Republican supporters are terrorists, Trump is Hitler, even though they're the ones who are congressmen and senators calling for riots in the streets, calling for fighting ICE agents, actually out there trying to fight ICE agents in some cases of these congressmen. It's somehow the fault of the Republicans that the Democrat supporters are so violent and angry. I'm wondering, you know, maybe this isn't a case of the Democrat establishment trying to rile its supporters up because they feel inept, weak, and powerless because, well, Republicans are that all the time, and their supporters don't get particularly violent about it. Maybe it's the other way around. Maybe it's they're so scared of their supporters ousting them. I mean, look what happened in New York City. You get this full-blown socialist who wins the election against Andrew Cuomo, an establishment figure. So, and now Hakeem Jeffries, who has major ties to Epstein, so I guess this is kind of a good thing, one of the New York City incoming socialist mayor's friends, even though Jeffries bowed to the mayor, one of his friends is still going to run against Jeffries anyway. So that's what Democrats get for being collaborators with the socialists. They get ousted too. Although, shouldn't they have already been aware that that was going to happen? Gee whiz, look what Democrats did to Adam Kinzinger, the former Republican congressman, who decided to bow to Democrats, do everything they said, even though he was ostensibly a Republican in his party affiliation, he was just a Democrat. And despite all that bowing, what did Democrats do? They rewrote the district map in his home state so that his district was erased, and he couldn't run anymore. He was out of Congress after aiding in the Democrats. They kicked him out. And now Democrats are worried that their own voters are going to do that to them, so that's why they're maybe perhaps trying to match the violent rhetoric of their own voters, going so far as to order the military to insurrect against Trump, and then act offended when he accuses them of sedition, which they've been accusing him for what, 10 years now? Anyway, folks, thanks for tuning into this hour of The Alan Nathan Show. MainStreetAnnetwork.com and AlanNathan.com are our websites. Be seeing you.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, MainStreetRadioNetwork.com.